You're listening to Dropping the Gloves with former NHL All-Star John Scott, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts and delivered by DoorDash. John Scott, the All-Star man. John Scott, the family man. Thank you for listening to Dropping the Gloves with John Scott. Woo!
Yeah! What is going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Dropping the Gloves here on a nice Wednesday. Well, I got some bad news for you. Bad and good, per se. Tim, my main man, my right-hand man, you know, the rock of the show. He is out today. He's traveling for work, so he's not going to be here. And it's funny. He should just get rid of that job and just focus solely on dropping the gloves. I know. I've told him, but he's not ready to commit just yet. But the good news, we are going to have a nice guest joining us, a professional, a pro's pro, a guy who's going to come in and make me look like chop liver, Nick Kyprios, Mr. Sportsnet himself, Mr. Breaks His Leg During a Hockey Fight, the only man in NHL history to do that. He's been kind enough to join me to talk hockey a little bit, chop it up. The guy's so busy, I asked him last week, I'm like, Kipper, you want to jump on? Timmy's not going to be here. He's like, well, let's see, I'm going to do The Athletic this day. I'm going to do another show this day. I can maybe squeeze you in on a Wednesday from 1 to 120. We'll make it work. And so here we are. We're waiting for Kipper to sign on. I just wanted to jump on with you guys earlier. Just give you a recap of what's been going on in the league. Gosh, the Toronto Maple Leafs have been on fire. And I know I've been the Leafs' biggest critic for the last few years, especially, you know, in the offseason. I give them a hard time last year during the playoffs. They didn't compete, this and that. Mitch Marner was anywhere but the hockey rink. He was just on the moon during all those playoffs game. I don't know what to say about that. Matthews didn't produce in the playoffs. There was a very few. Nylander was the only guy who really showed up in the playoffs last year. So I've been hard on the Toronto Maple Leafs. And I want to talk to Kipper about this because, boy, oh boy, have the Toronto Maple Leafs been impressing me lately. They go on a Southern road trip. They play arguably the two best teams in the NHL. They absolutely dismantle the Tampa Bay Lightnings. And then on a back-to-back, which is the hardest thing to do in hockey, let alone playing the top two teams in your division, potentially in the NHL, you go into Florida and you just dismantle them in the first two periods. You're up 5-1. Maybe you get the good feelies going. You're flying. You feel like, man, we might win the Stanley Cup. Those thoughts start to creep into your head. And next thing you know, it's 5-2, 5-3, 5-4, 5-5, 6-5. You battle back to make it 6-6, and you lose 7-6 with John and Huberto overtime goal. And I love what their coach said, Sheldon Keefe, in the press conference after the game, because you think that that's a huge blown lead. Like, that's massive. I want to talk to Kipper about this, get his take on it, because he's, you know, a Leafs guy. He's in Toronto. He's in touch with the team on a daily basis. I love what Sheldon Keefe did. He didn't blow it out of proportion. He focused on the positive. He's like, we came into Florida. Anytime you can leave Florida with 3 points, we outplay this team for two periods. We just had some mental lapses. We give up a shorthanded goal. We get a too many men penalty after we just had a breakaway to potentially make it 6-1. And the next thing you know, it's one goal after another, after another, after another. And it got out of control. And when you're playing a good team like Florida, if you give them an inch, they're going to take a mile. And that's exactly what happened. We've seen Florida. They score in bunches. They're one of the highest scoring teams in the NHL. And that's what happened last night to the Toronto Maple Leafs. But I very rarely look at things glass half full. I am looking this like a glass half full situation, because the Toronto Maple Leafs, all of a sudden, they've beaten the Bruins a couple times lately. They've beaten the Panthers a week and a half ago. Then they battle them to an overtime loss last night. They beat the Tampa Bay Lightning. They are beating the teams that they need to beat in order to be considered Stanley Cup contenders, because the East, as we know, is an absolute juggernaut. No one knows what's going to happen come playoff time. But based on what's happened post trade deadline, you could say that Toronto Maple Leafs are the best team in hockey right now. Yes, we talked about the Bruins. They are on an epic winning streak themselves. I think they've won 8 or 9 of the last 10. Tim chronicled that on Monday, where maybe that's a little bit of a mirage. They haven't been playing very good teams. The Toronto Maple Leafs have been playing good teams. They've been playing good teams and coming out with a winning record, and they are quite possibly the Stanley Cup contenders coming into the playoffs, which are going to be in a couple of weeks now. That being said, they have to go through just an absolute gauntlet to get to that point. We're still figuring out who they're going to play in the playoffs night in and night out. It's just where are we going to end up? Is Toronto going to end up with the first seed in the East? Are they going to end up in the seventh seed in the East? And nothing is set in stone in that division. So going forward from here, it'll be interesting to see where they match up. But myself, like I said at the start of the show, I was their biggest critic. I thought in the first round they were going to be balanced, whether they played the Tampa Bay Lightning, whether they played the Boston Bruins, whether they played the Carolina Hurricanes, the Florida Panthers, whoever they played. I thought they were outmatched versus all of those matchups. Things have changed. Things have drastically changed. I like their additions at the trade deadline. The one thing that I think they're lacking, and I think maybe he's answered a couple questions these last few games, have been Jack Campbell. No one knew how he was going to respond to his rib injury. He's been out for the last few weeks. Peter Mrazek has faltered. The young kid Klinggren has come in and held the fort down. He's been a very good goalie. He got the win two nights ago, I want to say. I think Jack Campbell, he's answering questions. He's come back. He's played strong. He's obviously not going to win the Vezina any season in the next 5 years, but you don't need him to. I said it last year. I said it the year before. You don't need an all-star goalie to win the Stanley Cup. Yes, Andrei Vasilevskiy is kind of making me stick that one up my Yahoo, but I don't think the Tampa Bay Lightning need Vasilevskiy to be an all-star caliber goaltender to win the Stanley Cup the last 2 years. They were that good of a team. They were absolutely just dominant 2 years ago, and they were a very good team last year, and they were the best team. They win the Stanley Cup. They lucked out, I think, in playing the Montreal Canadiens in the Stanley Cup final. Just the format worked for them. But they didn't need Vasilevskiy to be the all-star caliber goaltender going into the finals. They were the better team overall. That being said, Toronto does not need Jack Campbell to be the best goaltender on the ice in order to win hockey games. They have arguably the most dynamic offense in hockey. They have arguably the best first line in hockey. Their defense is rounding out nicely. Mark Giordano was a good pickup. Ilya Lyubushkin, I think, was a better pickup than Giordano, but they're both very good defensemen. They know where to be when it's, you know, comes down to crunch time. Giordano's been there. Lyubushkin is a guy who's not going to be out of position. He's going to play the hard minutes. And they are just, they're a good hockey team. So we're going to get Kiprios joining us in a second. I should get the ads out of the way. All right, points bet. Tim usually does this. I'm doing it today. We got a points bet pick. They just opened up in Ontario, so make sure if you're in Ontario, go out, do points bet, check it out. It's an amazing company. Gambling has never been available in Ontario live via the internet, but points bet is live now, people. So check them out. Go there, pick some games. I'm going to pick a game right now for you. By the way, on Monday, if you guys are following along with our bets, if you do follow up and you go and you bet, which I highly encourage you to do, I went 4 for 4. I was 100%. I nailed it, and I'm going to nail it tonight. So Wednesday, we got the Red Wings versus the Jets. The Wings, big win last night versus the Boston Bruins. Back-to-back, playing the Bruins and the Jets, two pretty physical teams. I don't like the Red Wings in this one. Nedeljkovic with a big 47-save performance in that win. I don't think he's going to be up to task if he gets the back-to-back, which I doubt. I'm going to take the Jets over the Red Wings. Lightning Capitals. Lightning had to have a bounce-back performance versus the Capitals after that big loss versus Toronto. You know, they're going to be upset taking a Lightning in this one, the Blues versus the Kraken. You can never pick the Kraken at all. Tim nailed his pick with the over with the Blues, by the way, on Monday as well. They are just a scoring juggernaut. I like the Blues over the Kraken. We're going to go the Canucks over the Golden Knights. I know the Knights have won 5 in a row. I think they're going to come down to earth a little bit, and the Canucks are going to make this race maybe a little more interesting and maybe just hurt the Golden Knights' chances to make the playoffs. Dallas is slowly starting to inch away from them a little bit. They have a few more games in hand, and they keep winning. This will be a big loss for the Golden Knights, and the Flames versus the Ducks. You got to take the Flames on this one. So I'm going to do the Flames over the Ducks, Golden Knights over the Canucks, Blues over Kraken, Lightning over Capitals. Red Wings are going to lose to the Winnipeg Jets. I think I picked every favorite in this game, in this five-game parlay I'm doing here. But you know what? Sometimes you got to go for the juggernauts. You got to go for the big – I've said juggernaut, I want to say 7 times already in this podcast. Maybe I'm nervous. Maybe I need Tim to kind of guide me through the podcast. I don't know, but I just say juggernaut a lot when Tim's on here to spell me. It's tough when you do a show on your own. I use Tim to kind of get a break, take a sip of water, you know, go from there. And I don't have him right now. So lay off me a little bit. You know what I need? I think I need a coffee. You know what you can do? Get your coffee from DoorDash. You can do everything with DoorDash. If you're in Boston, go to Dunkin' Donuts. If you're in Canada, get them from Tim Hortons. DoorDash will be there to set you up. And if you're in Canada, use promo code GlovesDD. Get 25% off of your free delivery on your first order. It's an unbelievable company. You get some Timbits. You get some coffee. You get some crawlers. You're living life if you're in Canada. If you're in the USA, use GlovesDD US. Get yourselves the same deal. DoorDash, great company. Great, great everything. So DoorDash. So, all right, he's here, everybody. Finally, the man, the myth, the legend, the most, I would say the most busiest man in hockey, Nick Kiprios, is here. Kipper, what's going on, my friend?
JS, what's going on? How's All-Star John Scott doing these days?
That's why I like having you on the show. You just know how to pump my tires. Honestly, no one else does it. Everybody cuts me down. You come on, Mr. All-Star. I love that. I'm doing good. Can't complain.
Listen, one day later, 1 month later, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. It's a hell of a story, man. It's a hell of a story.
No one's going to take that away from me. Just check my license plate on my car. It says All-Star. You'll never forget that. But anyways, I know we don't have you long. You're crazy busy. You got a show every day from what, 3 to 5 on the Fan 590. Check it out. You've turned your little hockey. I don't want to say little and minimize it, but you are the guy now when it comes to hockey.
I don't know about that.
One of the few.
You know what, John, Big John, it's been a great ride so far, much like your story that kind of evolved on its own. It's something that you don't necessarily plan, but, you know, sometimes there's a strong current. Sometimes there's this magnet pulling you in certain directions and you just keep going with it. I had a nice little lull right just before the pandemic. I stopped doing nights on Hockey Night in Canada and Sportsnet. I took some time off for the first time since basically I was 7 years old. Every year since I was seven was geared either to play hockey, minor hockey, professional hockey, or prepare in the broadcasting world. Because once I retired, I got hired a month later on this brand new station called Sportsnet. Hmm. And then I had a run of over 20 years of working four nights a week. And this past 2 years, you know, was actually, you know, personally speaking, good timing. Unfortunately, the pandemic shut everybody down, but I was already in that shutdown mode, looking for a few different things, catching my breath. I started a beverage company called Little Buddha Cocktails with my wife. I wrote a book. And now I've started this podcast with Justin Bourne here at Sportsnet, Monday through Fridays. Called Real Kipper and Bourne, and it's just enough. I get to go home at night. I get to turn on the barbecue and watch the games with my wife and my kids. So it's all good, pal.
I think that's important. It's a good lesson because people try to do so much, right? They try to just like, I want to be successful and the best and everything. And the best decision I made was not moving to Toronto after my retirement and trying to chase what you have. Like that's what I wanted after hockey. I'm like, I want to work for TSN or Sportsnet. I want to be one of those guys because it's fun. It's fun to do that night in and night out, but it's just, yeah, like you said, it's nice to come home every night, be there, be present, not have to just run everywhere all the time.
And you've been around long enough to know this, but for those of you that, you know, are watching and yes, you know, on the surface, it looks glamorous. You're on TV. You're wearing suits. People get to see your face every day. And then there's that threshold, that cusp line where it just turns into a job. Yep. And it's a tough job. And it's a very demanding job where you have to stay current. You make your calls. You find out what's going on. Your whole purpose on being on television is to not only draw from your experiences, but to also tell me something that I don't already know. So the cliches don't work and saying what everybody else is saying doesn't work. You got to come in with new, fresh ideas and it takes a huge commitment and one that sometimes pulls you away from other things like family, like other projects, like friends. I'm not complaining about it. I had a great run, but today I feel a little bit more balanced, John.
No, it's important to have balance. You mentioned that little Buddha. What? Why booze? Why a cocktail? Are you a mixologist at home?
Yeah, no. You know, it again. When I say this, it's a blueprint for anything in life. It's just something that evolved. It started at a barbecue. Good friends of ours. The recent surge of these RTDs. You know what an RTD stands for?
No.
In the beverage world, it's ready to drink.
Okay. So,
right? Whatever, your vodka, your gins, your White Claws, all of them, they just pop the can open. And we started this conversation on a summer night that said which ones we liked, which ones we didn't like. And then we made a wish list. If we were to start a beverage company, what would we want in a drink? And we started checking these boxes. No sugar, low calories. We'd bring the alcohol content down because traditionally it's been around 5.5%. We went down to 4%. We went gluten-free. We went no preservatives, all natural. And the next day it was like, remember that conversation? And it's like, well,
no,
but it was like, well, what do you think? You want to try this? JS, we knew nothing about nothing. So what do? We go to Google and we start, you know, researching how to buy cans, how to create a flavor profile, marketing, distribution. And then you start making phone calls to people that are in the business. And you just hope someone gives you enough time to kind of take you under their wing. And that happened for us. And here we are going into our third year. We got 4 flavors. We've sold probably about 60,000 cases in the last 2 years. We're hoping to come down to the States soon. So it's all good. It's all good. We're hanging
crazy
in there.
Crazy. And that's a hard market to hang in. Like, there is so much on the shelf to be able to do that, Kipper. That's impressive.
We're little minnows and we're just trying to avoid the sharks eating us up.
Yeah. Well, geez, that's a good endeavor. Good for you guys. All right, let's get to hockey. Yeah. Why yes. Everyone's here. I'm impressed. I might have to pick your brain on that later. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm a former Hawk guy and I want to talk about the Leafs in a second. Cause I know you're in Toronto, you're Mr. Leafs.
No problem.
So the Hawks, They've missed the playoffs 4 of the last 5 years. Should have been 5 of the last 5 based on the COVID stuff. They're letting everybody in, it seemed, that year. What's going on in Chicago? Taser's not getting any older or younger, excuse me. Kaner's not getting any younger. Do you think they missed their window to trade all those guys and get maximum value? And they should have pressed reset a few years ago? Or do you think they can bring it back again and still contribute in a meaningful way?
Not with I don't think with Pat Kane or Jonathan Toews leading the way that they can bring it back. So in saying that, you probably have to go, like most hockey clubs, go back a few years and just, you know, where was the mistake? Where was the decision? And you know, Stan Bowman, of course, came in early and had great success and won cups and everything was great. But then there came to that decision now on, you know, are we going to continue to think that we can win every year after that? And there was never pause. There was never a true reset.
Yeah.
And, you know, when they did have players that started to look good, like Panarin, once upon a time, Panarin was a Chicago Blackhawk who Pat Kane loved. And just like that, the decision was, we're not paying Panarin, you know, $6 or $7 million. And of course, he goes to New York and makes 10. But those type of decisions, and then the decision to pay who and for how long, and then they tried to squeeze in after those cups, of course, Pat Kane and Jonathan Toews at $10.5 million. Yep. And then the Seabrook and the Keith of the world, they wanted to be paid off. And then it was just a catch-up mode after that. And at some point they needed to go what they are going through now with Kyle Davidson, but they needed to do it 3 or 4 years ago to get Kane and Toews to a position today where they can compete. And they're just too slow. Those guys are too old. They're going to miss the window.
So they both have 1 year left on their deal after this. They're both making 10.5. I thought this deadline, we were going to see massive names moved. I thought potentially we were going to see a Malkin. We were going to see bigger names. Claude Giroux was the only guy who got moved. Do you see a time ever that Jonathan Toews leaves Chicago? Or is he just a lifer there? I could see Kaner being moved potentially.
Yeah.
When you think of Johnny, he's just Chicago through and through. Can you see that happening?
Well, we're not, you know, we don't have all the inside information. But even for those of you that are watching Jonathan Toews and his is he embracing everything that's going on right now, or is there some resistance? Does he sound right now as a guy that wants to just stay and ride into the sunset with the Chicago Blackhawks? Or does he sound like a guy that wants to still win right now? And I get the feeling of the latter.
Yeah.
So if that's the case, then as harsh as it may be, Chicago Blackhawks fans should start thinking about life, you know, without Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane. And you can get a boatload for those guys. I'm even questioning John, you know, DeBrincat, and whether or not he is part of the future.
Yeah.
There's another guy that you could get an absolute boatload in terms of young prospects and top picks for a guy that is easy, a 35, 40 goal scorer. So I look at Chicago contending 3 years from now, 4 years from now.
Wow.
Not today or tomorrow.
Yeah, I agree. 3-4 years ago, the DeBrincat would bring them a couple first rounders. If Hagel, for Pete's sake, can get two first rounders, imagine what DeBrincat brings.
Yeah.
I agree. I think they need to unload everybody. They should have did it 2 years ago. In my mind, they had no reason to go on. They just kept trying to reinvent the wheel, bring back Sharpie, bring back Chalmerson, bring back all these guys, and just kind of turn back the clock. It never really did work. All right, now let's get to what I think everybody wants to talk about. We talk about the Leafs a lot. You probably talk about them a lot. They just had this, in my opinion, a great road trip, a fantastic road trip. Obviously, they imploded at the end of the game versus the Panthers. Do you see them slaying the Dragon this year? They have to get through a murderer's row in the playoffs. Well, do you see this happening?
If you would have asked me after they beat Tampa Bay 6-2, it was a little clearer.
Yeah.
Last night, it gets murky again. I'm watching both Toronto and Florida, and both of you guys have high expectation. The bar is really high, and you can't keep the puck out of your own net when you need to, and you can't protect a lead. And nobody really trusts their goaltending. Bobrovsky at $10 million, or, you know, again, Jack Campbell, who came back off of a pretty serious injury, looked pretty good, had to come in cold. I don't think it's really fair to judge him just yet. But when it comes into the you haven't proven anything category, and he's in the same boat. Bobrovsky's in the same boat. Forget about the fact that he makes $10 million. He hasn't gotten the job done in the playoffs. So outside of Vasilevsky, which the Leafs showed the other night that he's human, a lot of teams, not just the Leafs and not just Florida, may look back and say, yeah, we were good, but we had some warts here and there. And right now, one of them is in net for a lot of teams, not just Toronto and Florida. Again, outside of Vasilevsky in the East, everybody's got unproven goaltenders when it matters the most. So the Leafs, to me, aren't a clear top team in the East. I still leave that to Tampa Bay, even though, again, they had a poor showing against the Leafs. But it's their cup until someone takes it away. And Toronto's a dangerous team. Florida's a dangerous team. But they all have some warts here and there when it comes to trying to get out of the first round.
Let's stay on Toronto for a little bit. Obviously, I'm buddies with Ricky Vibe. You're probably buddies with them.
Yeah.
Matthews is going to pass his record. I'm surprised no one's passed it in all these years, to be honest with you, with all the great scores in Toronto. Is that even a blip on the radar in Toronto right now? Is anybody focused on that, or is everybody just worried? It is.
No, that was a big deal. No question, a big deal. And, you know, scoring 50 was a big deal. If you look, John, at you know, a rich, historic franchise like Toronto, they haven't produced – too many great superstars. And I'm, you know, I was born, you know, late 60s, but I remember Daryl Sittler. I remember Lanny McDonald of the 70s and the early 80s. And then you mentioned Rick Vive, Boreas Salming hung in there in the 70s and the 80s. Then we went to the 90s. Doug Gilmore got traded from Calgary, had superstar status, but not homegrown. Not still considered, you know, one of their own in terms of being there for a great length of time. Matt Sundin off of a trade for Quebec. Now these kids, Mitch Marner and Austin Matthews come in, they're drafted, they're honed, they're developed. These guys, you know, historically, right now, from beginning to where they are today, are arguably the best and most popular Leafs in history. That's where it's gotten in a very short period of time. Mitch Marner's putting up numbers that we've never seen before. You know, 2 points a game for over 30 games now. And, you know, Doug Gilmore, Daryl Sittler, they've had some really good runs. And they're, of course, Hall of Famers. But this is really special what the two of those guys are doing.
Is it? See, I think about this a lot. Everybody likes goal scorers. It's sexy. It's this, is that. Is Mitch Marner the most important part of this hockey team? Because when I watch a game, it seems to me that he's the straw that stirs the drink. He's the guy who makes everything happen. Is he the MVP of the Leafs?
And I think there's a strong argument for that. As far as the popularity is concerned, or who gets the most attention, or who sucks most of the oxygen out of the media, it's Austin Matthews.
Yeah.
No question. But I am with you, and I've said this for a long time. When I watch the Leafs, I see Mitch Marner as the engine, the guy that just doesn't quit, that doesn't stop. He's not the biggest guy. He's not the strongest guy, but he doesn't get tired. The feet are always moving, and he's one of the most dangerous guys. Brad Marchand, to me, and Mitch Marner are the two best penalty killers, and they're just not thinking about killing the penalty. They're thinking about beating you, and they're thinking about scoring. But Mitch Marner, I don't know how he does it and how he does not tire. But this guy, to me, is the true driving engine and the playmaker and the guy that needs to create and open up holes. And although Austin Matthews is a centerman, John, he certainly acts like a scoring winger, because most often than not, you know, the puck's getting to the net if it's on his stick anywhere near the net.
Do you feel like there's going to be any kind of, I don't want to say animosity, but issues there? Listen, everybody has an ego. We've seen it with these kids. Everybody wants to be the star on their team. Everybody wants to be the captain. Do you see this ever being an issue with Mitch Marner? Be like, you know what, man? Like, I'm not getting my props here. Yeah. The MVP conversation this year, it's Marner, it's McDavid, it's Shesterkin, the Huberto, who I don't think gets as much due as he should, Roman Josi. Why is Marner not in that conversation? Yeah. Is it because he's overshadowed?
I think so, a little bit. But – you know, these guys have at times taken their hits too for failing to get out of the first round.
Yeah.
And I think they've got enough knowledge of what that feels like to sit there and go, this is great in the regular season, whether it is 50 or 60 goals or 100 points or accolades with trophies. They're going to fry us in this town if we lose in the first round again.
Mm-hmm.
So, Mitch Marner, I think it's a given. And, you know, you make up you bring up a very interesting point, and one that isn't really different than those early years with Crosby and Malkin. Mm-hmm. And I think at times Malkin felt, you know, I'm a top pick, I'm talented, I'm one of the best players in the world. And then there was, maybe at times an internal competition for a lot of things, points, accolades, attention. But I think one of the best things that happened was watching Malkin go, listen, I don't need the attention. I don't need to feel like I'm as good or better than Crosby. I just need to win. I need Stanley Cups, and I'll always be remembered as a great player. And I think Mitch is there now, and they need each other. They need each other to be great. They cannot – one guy cannot advance without the other guy – being great. And I think, you know, when you get a certain age, like where they are right now in their mid-20s,
you're
starting to acknowledge that, number one, they need each other, and number two, all that matters is whether you win or not. That's what truly everybody will remember. So I think they're both at a good place right now, whether the team around them, they've got enough foot soldiers, whether they get the goaltending is another question, but these guys are ready. They're ready to deliver at least as much as they can without, crumbling with 18 guys around them.
Yeah, you mentioned like, okay, they're a dynamic duo. I couldn't help but thinking of the two guys out west at Edmonton who just arguably the best players, Nick, ever to skate on an ice rink.
They're fun to watch too.
They're unbelievable. What, like, who's the next team in Canada to win the cup? Who's the next team? If you had to take one pick.
Yeah. Right now, I'd say Calgary.
Yeah.
And I only say that because they've got Daryl Sutter there.
Yep.
And they've been the hardest team to play against all year. That's the one thing that you constantly heard from October to today, that they play hard and they're tough to play against. And while you love the Toronto Maple Leafs skill led by the two guys we just mentioned and Edmonton to the same degree, they haven't been as hard to play against, and they want to beat you with skill, whereas Calgary can beat you leaning on you, hitting, playing tough hockey, closing the lanes, shut down hockey, you know, all of those things that are more, you know, connected to playoff hockey than regular season hockey. So we'll see what levels those two guys, the four guys in Edmonton and Toronto will take their team. But, you know, you've been around long enough to know, hey, us third and fourth liners, we don't get any attention. But come in a seven-game series, we play a pretty important role here. So it's not basketball, man, when two guys can carry the floor for 48 minutes. It takes a complete roster to win for 2 months.
And you should know. You've raised the cup, Nick. I was actually talking to one of your former teammates before we came on the show, Ally Afraidy, and he was just waxing how you just worked your way onto a team, and you were the definition of a third and fourth line guy, did whatever you want. Is that – well, we know that's been Toronto's issue, right? The stars don't show up in the playoffs, or they just get negated. I've said it time and again. Yeah, the first and line pretty much equal each other out, then it's a third and fourth line who are going to win you the series. At the deadline, do you think Dubas did enough to transition this team and from a good team to like, okay, here we go. This is our year. We're not going to flame out in the playoffs, because he really only added a few pieces. Giordano doesn't move the needle for me that much. I like the Blackwell pickup. Do you think he missed the mark there by not going out and keeping up with the Joneses?
Well, it depends on what side you are on that. You know, if the world was going to end, you know, in July, then the answer is no.
Yeah.
But if the world continues and you got to play next year and the year after, then I think he did as much as he could responsibly. And he got burned, John, last year on the Foligno trade, a first and a fourth for a guy who may have not been healthy, but regardless had really no impact on the Leafs. No goals, was in and out of the lineup, and it was a devastating loss of a first rounder for a guy that gave you no impact whatsoever. So when I look at Kyle Dubas's trade deadline this year, do I think that there was any more help out there without him selling the farm or fitting it in the cap or pushing someone else out that wasn't in the plans? I think for the most part, he did the most responsible thing that he could. At the end of the day, it still might not be enough, but at least he understands that he's got to compete next year and the year after. Florida, on the other hand, take a look. They gave up first round picks for the next 3 years. They are all in, more so than Kyle Dubas. And as I'm watching them and the Leafs play in a 7-6 game, I'm wondering, you know, is it going to be worth it for him in a year or two, Bill Zito, when it comes to giving up all those first rounders?
Yeah. But then it goes back to your point with Evgeny Malkin. It's like, I'm doing it for the cups. That's great if you have your first rounder next year and the year after, but you don't have a ring on your finger and you get to draft the first rounder, which is going to be 25 plus. I do think he should have probably did more. And it's not an addition to yourself, but it just keeps a guy away from the other team. You know, I think that's what Florida did. They're like, we're not going to let Colorado get Giroux. We're going to go out and get him so he doesn't go to our main competitor. So I love Toronto. I think they're a good team. but I do think they have more unanswered questions than other teams do. Like, what's the biggest hole with Florida? Where's their weakness?
It's just goaltending.
Yeah.
Consistent goaltending. And again, I'm watching some of these goals go in on Bobrovsky, and he can't stay in the lineup. Spencer Knight, like, you can see signs of brilliance. But then again, you could say that about any goaltender in the National Hockey League. They're talented guys.
Yep.
They're big. They're strong. But much like those golfers right now, and we'll see in the Masters, you know, coming up here, it's like, who's got the mental toughness to shut the door when all the pressure in the world is there? And that's the difference. They all kind of look the same. They play the same. They're taught the same way. They're reversed VH, all of it. Mm-hmm. They all kind of look the same. What's the difference? Between the ears, man, when it comes to those pressure situations.
That's true. All right. So I know you got to get out of here. You got to prep for your show. You don't need to prep. You're a genius. So the playoffs start tomorrow. Toronto plays Tampa Bay. Who comes out of there in the first round?
I think I like the fact that they went in there earlier this week and beat Tampa Bay. And yep. I think that's one of those that regardless, it's close enough to the end of the season that you can draw from it.
Yeah.
But, you know, they're going to have to still go to another level. I mean, we've played in the playoffs and regular seasons, and there's just nothing in the regular season that can match the intensity of the Stanley Cup playoffs. You know how they prepped us,
yeah,
with the books and the assignments. And, you know, it's just a much different feeling from any prep work you ever would ever put in a regular season game. Like, you live and breathe the playoffs, and to play the same team for a week and a half that may go six or seven games, it's a whole new ball game. So I think if the Leafs did anything, they woke up Tampa Bay to how dangerous they are. And I got to assume the next time they play, Tampa Bay is going to be a lot more ready. But I like the Leafs' chances if they can get some hot goaltending. You know, I look at all the East and I'm like, there's going to be four teams in the East getting knocked out in the first round that will be devastated. That may cost some coaches their jobs, because all eight in the East expect to be in a conference final or a Stanley Cup final. So regardless, I'm looking forward to it. But the Leafs are a very dangerous team, John, no question.
All right, one more. If you're building a team for the next 3 years, do you take Matthews and Marner, or do you take or do you take Kucherov and Point, or Kucherov and Stamkos, or Kucherov and Hedman, knowing that those guys have, you know, the playoff grit to win a Stanley Cup? But Marner and Matthews are better hockey players, arguably.
Well, listen, you threw a defenseman in there, and if
or we'll go Point or whoever you want to pick from Tampa.
I just want to say though, when I think about winning a Stanley Cup. When I think of our Stanley Cup, and, you know, God bless him, I love him to death, Mark Messier. But when I think about our Stanley Cups, I think of the net on out. Mm-hmm. I think defense first. I think shutdown hockey first. I think of Mike Richter and Brian Leetch. In Tampa Bay, love Victor Hedman. What's missing from Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner? A Victor Hedman. Like Morgan Riley, but don't have him in the same tier as a Victor Hedman. Same thing with McDavid and Draisaitl. Don't have one of those. Darnell Nurse, nice player. Is he overpaid at 9.25? That's another conversation. But Darnell Nurse is not Victor Hedman to me.
Yeah.
So you get a guy like that on your blue line, and it makes even the Stamkoses, the Kucherovs, and the Points that much better. But Braden Point, like, come on. We're talking about one of the best modern-day playoff players in history.
Yep.
I mean, what he's been able to do in the playoffs, Mr. Clutch, you know, has been phenomenal.
Yeah, so, I don't think people realize how hard it is. Not that I've done it, but I've seen it. I've been around it. It's hard to produce in the playoffs. It's very hard to do it, especially when everyone knows the puck's going to you. So it is amazing. All right, Kipper, I don't want to keep you anymore. Check him out on Twitter at The Real Kipper, the Fan 590, Kipper in the Born. Buy his book. He's everywhere. Buy a little Buddha. drinks. It's the guy does everything. Thank you for joining us on the show, Nick Kyprios. Good luck. And you don't even need good luck. You don't even need it. Yes, good luck.
Always a pleasure, man. Love listening to you. You're coming on my show soon here, okay?
Absolutely, my friend. All right, have a good one, Kipper. We'll see ya. Nick Kyprios, everybody. What an amazing interview. The guy, you know, it's hard to interview somebody when you know that they're better than you are at everything in every single way. So that was a tough interview for me because he's just better at everything I do in my life. But what are you going to do? Sometimes you got to eat that humble pie and just give it up to the guy. So yeah, Nick Kyprios, you heard it here first. He thinks the Leafs are going to lose first round. He thinks Matthews and Marner are bums and they're never going to succeed. And he would take Hedmund and Kucherov over them. Get it on Twitter, get it out there. I wanted to ask him who he thought the biggest impact has been since the deadline, whether it's Tampa Bay getting Hengel and Paul, Colorado with Lykkanen and Sturm and Manson and Cogliano, Calgary with Foligno, Toffoli and Janmark and Carpenter, or Minnesota with Fleury and Nick DeLaurier, who I think Nicky DeLaurier, you watch, and I say it a lot, he's going to be a sleeper in the playoffs. The guy is an absolute stud, juggernaut, some would say, and he will produce in the playoffs. But we'll touch on that a different show. Thank you, everybody, for listening. I appreciate the support. Hopefully Tim will be back on Friday to kind of save me from this just terrible podcast that I'm doing right now. But anyways, get out there and make a difference, everybody. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to Dropping the Gloves with John Scott, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to never miss an episode. Delivered by DoorDash.